Welcome to the Retail Inside Out podcast from Retail Gazette. On today's episode, we're diving deep into the world of fashion and delighted to welcome our first guest, Sarah Ewan-Smythe, Head of Buying N Brown. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you.
And also joining us today to help give us his insight into the retail space is Lewis Rees-Davis, Senior Account Executive, Sheer ID. Welcome, Lewis.
Thanks very much for having me.
Jumping straight in, listeners might not be aware that N Brown were the winners of the Fashion Game Changer Award at last year's Retail Gazette Awards. So big congratulations there, Sarah. One of the things that our judges were saying about, you know, why N Brown stood out amongst, you know, such a rich category of shortlisted retailers was that you're tackling one of fashion retail's biggest issues, we think, is fit. Why is it such a big issue, and what did you do to solve that?
I suppose to set the scene, at N Brown, we are an inclusive fashion retailer, so we serve a very diverse base. So our womenswear sizing range from size 10 to 32, and our menswear from a small to 6XL. So getting fit right is absolutely imperative for us. Designing and manufacturing clothes in such a broad range of sizes is a significant skill. It's not just a case of we use one block and we size up, we add a CM on here and two CM on there, and we make the sleeve as long as the body. We completely understand and appreciate how frustrating it is for our customers who are, you know, disappointed when they receive their order if it's not perfect for their size and shape. And the feeling, I suppose, that their specific shape is not considered as such and not catered for them. I mean, in terms of the scale of the issue around fit and getting that right, we at N Brown recently launched our Fashion for All campaign. So in a nutshell, we commissioned research to uncover the importance of having access to confidence boosting clothes, which is what we're all about. And worryingly, the data found that in the UK, just half of us say the clothes we wear make us feel good. And we know that obviously fit, again, is a really important factor in this. And a third of people said that they would feel more comfortable shopping for clothes if they had been specifically designed for different body shapes. And then a further quarter said more information about sizing and fit would help. So reiterating the earlier point, we feel that everyone should have access to the kind of clothes that make them feel incredible, which is why we've taken an innovative stance. And we are using cutting-edge technology to develop perfect-fitting product for our customers. So we have an in-house body scanner. People get quite daunted walking into it, actually, but it's not very scary at all. I suppose it's the theory of, can you strip down to your base layers, I think, which upsets people more. But so basically, you go in and hold onto two bars, and there's 200 individual cameras that take individual body measurements, analysing the effects of ageing, size, height, shape, posture. And then using that data set, we've created our unique 3D avatars to basically simulate a variety of fabrics, body shapes, sizing, which then enables a 3D design of fit and perfect style. So obviously, over and above the obvious improvements to returns rates, this is really then supporting us in delivering great fit credentials for our customers, which we know is just so important to them.
So I think with that, I mean, that's an amazing initiative and certainly something that it doesn't feel like many retailers are doing. So it's one of those things, I think it is quite challenging for a lot of people in this day and age to go into shops and find clothes that they Absolutely. Feel that they look good in. What kind of customer feedback have you had from this initiative?
So we obviously monitor our returns rates and we monitor our customer reviews as well. So our customer reviews have increased. So our percentage of 5-star reviews now have increased 20% year on year, which is brilliant. We have quite a large consumer community as well through Instagram and through our socials. And obviously people are very vocal on there around what they're happy with and what feels great. And a lot of influencing campaign, and it's really good to watch that. I'm a bit of a saddo. I love to watch people that are trying on our clothes and saying, oh, this feels amazing, or this fits me, or, you know, this, it stretches around the back, or it covers my bra straps, and all them things that are really important to people. And then in terms of, you know, from a corporate business perspective, the impact on returns rates. So whilst we've been driving through our newness with the 3D avatars, we've seen an improvement in our returns rates of two percentage points, which is a huge impact on profitability on the bottom line. So, you know, obviously it's twofold for the business and for customers as well.
And I suppose, you know, you mentioned having a scan is a different experience, and rolling that something like that out and asking people, you know, strip down to base layers and let us scan you. How difficult was that to communicate the benefits of to the customers?
Yeah, so I think we started with it very much in-house. So we went on a massive in-house mission. So everybody in our, so we employ over 1,700 people, I think, at M Brown across our different sites. So it was very much a rollout of we need as much data as possible, and we're obviously going to start in-house. So even the people that were in the building were nervous, you know, around, oh, what do I need to wear? And is it going to show a picture of me? And will I see my lumps and bumps? And it is not that at all. So it's just basically an avatar. So we kind of addressed the concerns of people internally and then learned from that. So then we very much took it on a bit of a roadshow. We joined it with a couple of our retail partners in London. So we took over a storefront, one of our retail partners in London. We were dragging people in off the street. Come and try this, come and try this. We did it at Pure last year. We've got tie-ins with gyms where obviously we get very different diverse bodies in there as well, because we want a broad mix of, you know, male, female, different sizes, ages, shapes. And I think people were a little bit nervous at first, like, what is it for? And why do you want my body? And why do you want a picture of me? And, you know, people were quite nervous. But I think once we got that across to people that actually, we are obsessed with your shape. We are obsessed with learning about real bodies and real people. They will, you know, we will be like, okay, yeah, great, I'll do it. And then, you know, the benefits as well that we give to people is when they get, when they've been in, they get the full scan, the avatar of the body, but then they get every single body measurement, the 200 measurements. So what we found was really positive with people that were genuinely interested in their body shape, their size. You've got a lot of people at the gyms, like, you know, from an athletic perspective. It was essentially a free body scan that would have cost them a couple of £100 at a gym. So we use that as a bit of an in as well with some people, because then they can help them track their measurements. So yeah, it was a bit of a challenge, but I think once people understood why we were doing it and the benefits we were trying to drive out, you know, some of the feedback that you were getting from people, like, I can't find things to fit me here, and I struggle with this on my back size, and my bum is a different size to my thighs. You know, once you get that real life out of people, and they really understood it, it was a lot easier.
That's amazing. And obviously you said that you've improved return rates by 2 points. Returns are big in the news at the moment. I mean, we're covering a lot of stories around returns. A lot of retailers are either making it more difficult to return, or it's becoming more difficult to return through online retail and all that stuff. So, you know, it's amazing that you've had that kind of impact from this program in reducing the return rate. Do you kind of see that growing?
Yeah, absolutely. The more we can kind of drive this out through, you know, with our supply partners as well, using the digital blocks and getting this right, the more products we can put it on, the more data we can get, the more we evolve that. Obviously, the data is always evolving. The more we will continue to push that, and it's just so important for us. Obviously, at the moment, as a retailer, we don't charge for returns. We're trying every other initiative that we can do to get them down. You'll always have elements of, you know, I ordered for choice, or I ordered this in a pink and a blue and a red because I wasn't sure which, you know, or I ordered this because I'm not sure if it's going to match what I bought. You know, you'll always get elements of choice. It just didn't suit me. Do you know what? I just didn't love it when I tried it on. But if we can make practical improvements to the physical fit of it, then that really, really helps.
So a lot of times when, you know, the different sizes of fit between even something like a t-shirt or something like that is quite substantial between different brands, and trying to figure out what
absolutely
is what works is a real challenge for people.
We did some kind of digging when we took the body scanner out on the roadshow, and I think the last time that sizes were actually rationalized and set officially in the UK was in the 50s. So obviously body shapes have changed so much since that time, and the ideal body and the ideal shape and proportions are completely different from as they were back then. So there's been no official kind of recalibration of sizing. So like you said, you could buy a pair of jeans from three different retailers and they will fit completely differently.
Absolutely did not know that that was the last time.
I mean,
time
I didn't up to a couple of years ago. Yeah, honestly, it was staggering that that wouldn't have been redone. But,
you know, with this initiative and with, you know, reducing returns, I think in your former role, you were very focused on sustainability within M Brown. Does this initiative also help improve the sustainability products?
Yeah, absolutely. So traditionally when we seal our products, so when we are, sealing a new dress, for example, we would get that in our actual sizing. So the manufacturer would make it in the actual sizing that we'd set for the customer, we'd get it in. So whether that would be a 12, 16, 24, depending on our in-house models, we always have traditionally fit on real people because it is so important to us that we understand real bodies. But the suppliers would then obviously make them samples and send them in. So the samples could have been coming in from as close as the UK, but they could be coming in from as far as China or Bangladesh. And obviously then if there's any amendments to the blocks or changes in styling, we would then have historically submitted a get a resubmit again so we can ensure that the fit is as good as possible. But obviously then the carbon footprint associated to the freight of the samples, the manufacturing of them, the fabric, the dyeing of the fabrics, the printing of it, etc., really starts to build. So internally, while we've been developing and digitally amending the tweaks to block and doing it on the avatar, we've removed the need for physical samples. So to date for this spring summer, we've reduced our physical sampling by 40%, which is it's huge. It's really great. So the impact for our sustainability perspective, it's really positive. And obviously, we're growing that as much as we can within supply capability as well. But it's only seeing positive improvements for us.
And I mean, are there any other kind of ways? I mean, this probably millions of different things that M. Brown are doing to improve sustainability. But are there any other things that kind of factor into this as well in terms of M. Brown and its focus on sustainability?
Yeah, so I suppose sustainability is another kind of huge challenge that we face and retailers are tackling, you know, all over the world, not just the UK. The scrutiny for our industry, I mean, it's huge, and we need to start driving and reducing our carbon emissions and meeting green targets. I mean, it's so prevalent for everybody, and it's a hugely important challenge. At M Brown, we take our responsibility around sustainability very seriously, ensuring, obviously, both from a people perspective that our ethical and environmental policies align with our commercial activities, but we work in towards our sustainability strategy, which is called Sustain. So it's essentially a set of initiatives that aim to kind of increase the well-being of employees and communities worldwide, whoever we work with and whoever our garments touch and our products touch, and ultimately reduce the environmental impacts on our operations. Within that, we have a section for our planet, which again highlights our priority areas across emission reductions, like I said before, nature conservation, circularity and traceability, to enhance our sustainability throughout the organisation and ultimately, you know, reduce our greenhouse gases. We are a signatory of the BRC Climate Action Roadmap, so as many others are, we've committed to achieving net zero by 2040. And from a product perspective, so in line with reducing sampling and increasing our sustainability there, we're also committed to all of our own brand products being sustainably sourced by 2030. So our efforts over the last couple of years have kind of ramped up, and we are completely dedicated to transforming our sourcing practices to reduce our environmental impact. It's just so relevant. We cannot get away with it. It's so important.
Turning to Lewis, what is it that ShareID does?
Yeah, good question. So I guess for context, we sit at the very, probably a different stage of the business. So, you know, we're a tech platform. We're an open verification solution that allows businesses to create gated propositions for acquisition and loyalty. So, you know, your business will create student propositions, teacher propositions. These can sit across your POS, in-app, online. And the aim of the game is to pull more consumers onto your site and to essentially push them through to purchase. So it's a very different end of the customer experience to what Sarah's talking about. But it's, you know, it's interesting because we speak a lot about that digital customer journey, the ability to personalize. But if you go through all of that and then the clothes don't fit, then there's a disappointment with the brand. So actually, you know, it's the total opposite spectrum of the customer experience where we fit into. But it's pivotal that essentially all of the digital teams pull these people into the sales funnel. They go and purchase these clothes. Absolutely, you want to maintain that surprise delight, that high customer experience. So the fit is obviously so important, and one that we don't hear enough about. But mostly because we're in with digital marketing and loyalty teams.
You're working with many, many different retailers, you know, through the work that you're doing. What kind of challenges do you see constantly coming up in terms of the retailers that you're working with and the wider retail space?
The buzzword for everyone at the moment is obviously personalization. And I think that a lot of companies out there don't have enough accurate, relevant data to drive more personalized engagement with their consumers. So we're working with lots of brands to drive more verified attributes into their data lakes and their CRM so that they can create more personalized messaging to those consumers. But then also to track trends within those consumer segments. You know, what the top 10 SKUs that students are purchasing at this time, for example, it'll allow you to create more personalized recommendations in the shopping journey. Because big businesses are really struggling with that. You know, if you look at your John Lewis's of the world, they have so many SKUs. And maybe in January I'm buying a saucepan, but then I'm looking for a pair of socks in June. Like, how does a brand know that? And how do they How do they know what personalization and what or what products to push to you? I think that's a big challenge that lots of big businesses are struggling with, and that leads to another challenge that we see, which is around authenticity. You know, it's one thing to say that you are a sustainable business, or that you care about the youth, or you care about Gen Z, but it's really important that you put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. So hearing M Brown that, you know, they're actively doing this, they're changing their environmental policies, they're really focusing on, you know, the Our Planet movement that they're talking about. Consumers want to see this, and not enough businesses are fundamentally doing that. It goes as far as saying, you know, if you're focusing on the youth and supporting the youth, then, you know, do that. Go and make those actions align with the strategy that you've put out there. Because these consumers are really having, which is probably the last one, like significant economic constraints. You know, it's just this morning I was listening to the radio, another 10% rise in energy bills here in the UK from October. These are further costs already impacting consumers who are already prioritizing saving over spending. So being able to support these consumers with new product ranges or new brands or propositions, I think is really important. And these are the challenges that retailers need to focus on. It's not about being seen as a discount brand, so to speak, but being able to provide recognition to those who are in need and investing in that, I think, is some of the challenges that we see and some of the ways that we're seeing people solve them.
Yeah, Sarah, would you agree with that? Is that another thing that, as M Brown, you're really conscious of? Obviously, cost of living increases, wages are not rising in line with the increases in cost of living. Is that something that is big on your challenges that you're facing?
Absolutely. I mean, it affects everybody, doesn't it? You know, we can't get away from it. And, you know, so we've got to have an understanding for our consumers, you know, that money is, you know, and buying a new dress maybe one week maybe isn't the top of the list when actually your gas bill's just gone up or your food bill's increasing. And, you know, it's how you offer the right product to the customers at the right time. Back to your point around what are they going to want when, and also I'll kind of trying to preempt what they're going to want when, but giving them the kind of offering in a financially viable way to them. So we ensure within our products that we have some kind of price architecture within it. You know, we try to offer, you know, affordable fashion to customers. We can obviously also offer our premium fashion, but one of the things that we try and do within that all is ensure that we've got great quality and fit regardless. So actually, if you've only got 20 quid to spend this week and you need a new dress, we've got an amazing fitting quality dress at 20 quid. But you know what, if you need a sequin all out, you know, singing and dancing party dress for your Christmas party, you know, we offer that as well. So it is really important for us to understand that, you know, and it's not as easy as just popping out, oh, no, I'm just going to buy myself a new dress. You know, customers have got so much to spend, and they have to be really, really careful with that and think really long and hard about what they need to spend, what is actually a necessity, you know, what is a nice to have.
I suppose that's the thing about the, you know, customer experience now is so important, because if you have a great experience with somebody, you're more likely to take that little bit of money that you have to spend on a luxury item or something that you want to buy for yourself with that retailer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said before, you know, they're very vocal in terms of what they want and what they're willing to pay and how often they want it and the choices that they want it in. And I love this, but why is it not in blue? Or, you know, but that's great, because all feedback is great feedback, right? Whether it's positive or negative, you've got to take something with it. And if someone's taking the time to engage with you on it, then you've got to learn from it. The biggest kind of importance, I suppose, to our customers after Great Fit is coming back to us is their online shopping experience, and the smooth journey. And, you know, like you'd said before, Luce, on the personalised shopping experience, the UK retail market is evolving massively, but alongside that, so are customer expectations. As an avid shopper myself, my favourite hobbies, you know, I want complete accessibility. I want to see what's relevant for me, regardless of how I'm accessing it. So whether I'm on my phone 1 minute, I might be on my work laptop the next, I might be on the tablet at home. You know, I want to see as much information as possible. I want to see what's relevant for me. Based on this, you bought that, we think you'll love this. And, you know, like, putting, you know, front and center for me what I think I'm actively searching for and what's relevant for me and what are my likes and dislikes are. So I think customers are becoming so much more demanding. It's, you know, it's a really difficult market to play, but you've got to, you know, try and be as in tune with them as possible. We launched a new product information management system, make it sound very exciting, this year. But essentially, we've designed that to kind of enhance the customer experience. So by providing our online shoppers with greater information to inform the purchases. So, you know, instead of it's just a visual and it's, you know, it's whatever colour, it's this size, is actually it's this is how it will fit. This is the fabric and this it's stretchy, or it's this is the fabric, this is a material composition, this is the model's height, this is a leg length, as much as we can to kind of help them and make that online shopping experience as seamless as possible.
I was just going to say, I really agree with what Sarah's saying. The requirement from consumers these days is that there needs to be seamless experiences regardless of the channels at a minimum, right? And then for brands, that's a challenge because we have, especially in the UK, lots of legacy businesses with legacy tech, especially if you look at grocery, for example. Like, these are, you know, huge businesses which have old school tech still at the heart of many of their POS systems. You have a consumer on one hand that wants to be able to have a seamless experience across all of these channels, and then you have a business on the other hand who needs to be tracking all of this data across all of these channels and can't because they're in these disparate solutions. So the need for the customer is going to help these businesses go through these transformations, because essentially in the long run they're going to have this central point of data which tracks all of these variables across, you know, their customer platforms that will enable them to provide better recommendations, to communicate in real time with them. So it's this kind of, the request and requirement for consumers will hopefully drive much faster transformation for businesses. We've certainly seen that. It seems like that's happening at Mbrown already.
Mm-hmm. As you're both consumers, obviously, stepping outside of your own personal roles and responsibilities, who's doing it well?
From a kind of online experience, ASOS is, after Mbrown, actually I buy a lot of my clothes from work. I'm such an advocate for it. I'm always flaunting the clothes when we're down the floor. But actually ASOS, I think from a customer experience, I think are brilliant. They've done some really good updates to their app recently as well. But I can go on there and it was, you know, based on this, we think you'll like this. When I go into Sort by New In, for example, that already knows, the algorithm will already know what I'll be looking into and what kind of, you know, products I've got the propensity to buy. So it kind of manually overrides that. I can go back in and just sort by general New In, but it will do that for me and kind of show me what I'm into. It will tell me if I've, you know, I went to buy something and it sold out. Actually, that sold out. We're really sorry, but you might love this. Or I can upload a picture that I might have seen on someone walking down the street and it will find something. Very similar to what I'm looking for. So from my perspective, in terms of wanting to keep on top of what is new, what is everybody else wearing, what do I like, how are you going to make it easy for me to find that, I think ASOS are actually, their web platform is doing a brilliant job.
And Lewis?
That's like a shameless plug because ASOS are one of my clients. So thank you so much, Sarah. You're right. They do a fantastic job. You know, she already supports with their global student verification because they know that you know, acquiring young consumers is going to be the way that they maintain longer term revenue. So we support them in that. But they do a fantastic job of showing me relevant content every time I log into that. And you're right, across all digital channels, they're obviously e-com first, but they do a fantastic job like that. We have way too many ASOS parcels turning up at here between my wife and I. But the brands that I really like doing it have often utilized loyalty programs because I just think it's a really innovative way to keep consumers rewarded for their loyalty for continued purchase, but also there's really neat ways of me getting very clear benefits from continually shopping at places that I like. So you have like your JD Sports of the world that have their new status program. Essentially, I'm being rewarded for buying my trainers at the place that I already buy, but it means that I'm going to stay there and the give back to me is, and go back, but the give to me is credit in brand currency that I then keep within the, so it's from a brand perspective, it's super smart. And then you can see all of these different tiering things that they do based off of all of the variables, whether you're a young person or, you know, whatever life stage you may be, you're going to start to see all of these woven into loyalty and then these kind of personalized experiences drive. So I think like Asda do a really wonderful job with their loyalty. That's been huge in the UK. JD do it really nicely. And I like both of those experiences.
This perfectly aligns with the final question that I have for you both. Building long-term loyalty. Obviously, we've talked about loyalty schemes. We've talked about the personalization, the wider issues around sustainability. Obviously, massive for people. We hear it all the time from people that are talking to us in the sector about how much focus they have on sustainability, and they want to be part of the sustainable future. Are there some other areas in terms of building that loyalty for consumers that we haven't yet discussed?
Going back to, some of the points that we've already spoken to, personalization across the omnichannel experience for the consumer is just key. If I'm a student and ASOS is providing me a benefit in kind, I need to receive it across the app, online. If it's a different business and it's in store, it needs to be seamless across all of those. And, from a business's perspective, utilizing data from these kind of programs that you can run for different segments will allow you to track those trends in there. So, if you have so many product SKUs and you're a John Lewis and you someone's come in a January and they bought a saucepan, but you're not quite sure what to recommend them now, you can utilize the data attributes that sit within your CRM to say, right, well, this demographic are looking at these top 10 items at the moment from different areas, and then that means that you can provide better recommendations on having that data. So I think the personalization piece across the omnichannel is fundamental, and rewarding consumers for ongoing loyalty in any format, I think, is key. And we're seeing a lot of investment from businesses focusing in on that, which will inevitably drive frequency of purchase, lifetime value, and all of those pieces. Mm. Those are probably the two for me.
Yeah, I suppose from our perspective, it's driving that emotional connection with the customers to gain cut through in the market. There's in a landscape that we're in now, there's so much competition. So whether it's pricing, it's a deal, it's a discount, it's social media presence, there's so much out there, and it's how do you kind of cut through that noise. So for us, it's really important to provide a community where our customers feel like they belong, and we understand them and we know what's important to them, and make them feel like they're kind of part of our community. Our kind of overall strategy is underpinned by an ethos of celebrating inclusivity. So we're always looking to serve those who may not be best served elsewhere. So whether that is their age or size or financial means, as we mentioned earlier, we are inherently proud to serve the underserved. We are obsessed with our customers, and we want everybody in our business to be obsessed with them as well, and to truly understand who our customer is, regardless of who they are and whether they sit in payroll and have no actual interaction with our customers and products. We have internal brand Bibles. We talk to our customer all the time. We're constantly sharing who he or she is, what they love, what they like to do at a weekend, where are they going, what emotional connection do they want from their clothes. I suppose one of our biggest, most recent kind of campaigns is our JD Williams lifestyle campaign. So for our JD Williams campaign, proudly serves the midlife woman. I think that's the right terminology. Yeah, proudly serving the midlife woman. So we don't shy away from speaking out around what all things midlife, and busting myths around the experience of being a woman in this time is like. So whether it's menopause, or you're going through a divorce, or your children are leaving home, or all them things, we relentlessly connect with these midlife customers with an offer of relevant styles and brands but trying to make them fit into moments in her life that matter, and helping her feel seen. So that kind of emotional cut through for us is a huge asset for building loyalty.
Thank you both for joining us today. That's been a really fascinating conversation. It's amazing to talk about all this kind of stuff. Thank you for being our guest today, Sarah Ewan-Smythe, Head of Buying N Brown.
Thank you so much.
And Lewis Rhys-Davies, Senior Account Executive, ShareID.
Thank you.